I'll say it again. Who here loves getting gifts? It's the trim. I love gifts. I absolutely love them. I love how they're wrapped, and I love how, you know, people put nice bows on them. And I want to tell you about the best gift I ever got. It was gorgeous. I mean, it was like this big. It had this amazing wrapping on it. It had like 15 bows on it. It had all, like, you know those gifts that have like chocolates on the top of them that's a gift before you get the gift? And then the card is just beautiful. You read it and you start crying. And it was the best gift ever. Have I missed something? See, it wouldn't have been the best gift if I just left it unwrapped, would it? Like if I just left it there on my desk, kind of like this, a beautiful gift that I got this morning, by the way, thank you. If I just left it like that, I couldn't really say that it's the best gift, could I? I mean, how would I know? I mean, it's beautifully wrapped, it's got a nice little card, you know, it's nice and pretty and nice colors, but is it really the best gift yet? I mean, how do I know what's in it unless I unwrap it? We're talking about that this morning, unwrapping the gift. It's kind of silly thinking, oh, you know, this is the best gift and I haven't unwrapped it yet. But we're talking about unwrapping the gift. And I want to propose a crazy idea this morning that might offend some of you. It may poke you in the chest a bit. That's kind of me. You know me. And it may even cause you to realize that you might have done this yourself. The idea is this: just because you believe in Jesus doesn't mean you've received him. I'll say it again. Just because you believe in Jesus doesn't mean that you've received him. Just because you have the gift in your hands doesn't mean you've unwrapped it. And we're going to unpack that a little bit this morning. But I want to have a little digress for 30 seconds, if you will allow me. I've been kind of doing the maths, and there's one more week until Christmas. Yay, I'm good with maths, yes. But I've forgotten something that's incredibly important. And I'm still waiting for something to come in the mail this week that I can give to this certain person. But I need to give honor this morning to someone who has served our church for the last year and beyond, for a number of years, especially our youth ministry. This person has just been an absolute godsend this year to our youth ministry in particular. And obviously I'm talking about Mr. Chris Stoddard back there, our youth intern who's been with us for a year as our youth intern. He has served like Jesus. And mate, you're not only a partner in ministry, but I have to say this morning, you're a good mate. And the fact that we've been able to do life together in ministry this year has been such a blessing to me. It's been a gift to me. So thank you from me, and thank you from our church, Chris. And I've got a little gift for you this week. I think you're going to like it. But I'm not going to tell you what it is yet. Don't need to be scared. You're going to love it. So on that note, why don't we stop? Let's pray, and then let's unwrap this gift. Jesus, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for this book, this gift to us of your word. Lord, thank you that you gave it to us so many years ago, and it teaches us, it guides us, it molds us, it shapes us, it changes us to be more like you. God, as we look at it this morning, we pray that you would help us, not just to think about it, not, God, just to go, that was nice, but Lord, help us to really allow ourselves to be poked in the chest, to allow ourselves to be offended, that our flesh would be offended, and that our spirits would come alive. God, would you kill in us what needs killing? Would you bring alive what needs bringing alive? And God, would you help us as we walk from this morning to know that we've truly unwrapped the gift that you've given us in Jesus. Lord, lead us, we pray in your name. Amen. Amen. I want to read three passages for us this morning. One's already been read. I'll read it again for us. But these are going to kind of guide our thoughts for this morning. So the first one, if we can go back to that first slide there. Is it? No. Maybe have a quick look at the order of them. They've actually got a number next to them. If you can put them in order, that'd be great. Sorry. All right, so I'll read it to us. If you have a Bible, John 1, 10 to 12 is our first verse. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. In Galatians 4, 4 to 7. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. And then Mark 10:15. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. I want to tell you another story of receiving a gift this morning. This was a much different gift. It wasn't even wrapped when I received it. You ever get one of those gifts that, you know, is just given to you and it's not even wrapped? It's a gift that I'm going to keep for life. It's one of those ones that is going to stay with me for my whole life. In fact, this gift not only made me indescribably happy, it actually changed me. It made me different. See, this gift was a gift. Why don't you put that next slide up there? Of my son, Kalev. He came literally unwrapped, and we had to wrap him. And I'll be his father no matter how long his life or my life lasts. I'm going to be his dad forever. He's stuck with me. He made me more joyful than any gift I've ever received, probably next to my salvation, but it's a close, close second. And it was a gift that actually changed who I was, from a husband to a husband and a father. I was different from then on, and I continue to be changed because of this little bundle of fun. And you know, in life, there's a couple of those kind of gifts, aren't there? There's only a handful of those kind of gifts that change who we are. I mean, when children come along, I only have one, but I've heard, you know, when you have more than one child, it's not like the next one comes along and you go, oh yeah, I've already seen that. Like, even after 5 or 6 or 10 or 20, the gift is still as precious. It's just different. What's another one of those things in life? It's one of those gifts that just, it changes who we are. How about marriage? I mean, fundamentally, it changes everything. You go from being single to married, from man to husband, from woman to wife, from dating to fundamentally committed by contract and covenant. It fundamentally changes the husband and the wife and their life together. You're different. What about this last one, receiving Christ? I mean, it fundamentally changes everything, doesn't it? It changes a person's understanding of who they are, where they fit in the world, of how they view life and reality and finances and pain, and changes everything. But you know, each of those gifts have some very important things in common. Can you figure them out? What are those things that they have in common other than they change us? How about cost? You can't buy them, can you? I mean, you can't really pay for those gifts, really. What about this next one? They kind of take everything we have. Not as in they take. It takes all of us to be that God has created, man and wife, parent, having a relationship with Jesus. What about each of those things also have a counterfeit? You can fake it, but I might add, you only reap the benefits from the real thing. You can't buy them. They take all you have, and you can have counterfeits, but you can't get the same experience. What about kids? I mean, you can't really buy kids, can you? You can't go down to Kids R Us and go, yeah, I'll have the one with blue eyes, and, you know, I'll have the boy, or I guess in today's boy, girl, whatever. I mean, it's only boy and girl, we know that, but you can't go down to Toys R Us and buy a child, can you? I mean, it happens in our world, and there's some terrible things that happen. But by and large, you get your child from nature's course. It doesn't really work to be able to buy them. I mean, parenthood also takes everything you have, doesn't it? I mean, who here has children and they're like, yep, it's a breeze. Simple. Never had a sleepless night. Never had to clean pooey nappies. Never had to clean up vomit. Never had to do all those uncomfortable things. Anybody? Didn't think so. It takes everything you have, money, time, energy, love, commitment, hair. And sometimes when we don't give our all, things can become more a burden and a pain than a joy and a privilege, can't it? I mean, you can also, I mean, you can adopt children for those who haven't been able to have their own kids, or be a foster care, and there's some amazing people who bring in children that are not their own, and they care for others as if they're their own. And those who do it well experience the joys and sorrows of parenthood. But no one can do that for you. It takes a real commitment like that of real parents. And we all know those people who have become parents, but they don't parent well. They may have children, but they haven't taken on the change in personhood that being a parent involves. Or because of life circumstances or tragedies, or because they haven't let go of their selfishness and their immaturity, they may be a parent, but they aren't experiencing the true joys of parenting, only the sorrows and the pain. What about marriage? Can you buy marriage? I mean, you can spend a pretty penny on the wedding itself, and maybe, you know, those online buy a bride from overseas, but marriage, you can't really buy it. And it takes everything that you have, not just money or time, but effort, intentionality, humility, tears, laughter, sharing life's joys and sorrows, putting the other before yourself constantly. And we can see from the divorce statistics in our country and in our world that people aren't ready or equipped, or sometimes people just give up making those sacrifices for their marriage. And there are so many people who settle for counterfeits. People who live or sleep together before getting married. It's a counterfeit. It's a fake. So many people think it's a good indication of what it will be like. It's not. Full stop. Because there isn't a fundamental covenant of commitment for life. It's different. It's a counterfeit. Another habit that can make marriage less than it was intended, more of a counterfeit, is merely just doing life together. And not celebrating and working on your relationship. Doing the chores, paying the bills, working, taking care of the kids. But never dating. Never laughing together. Never putting a little fuzzy spider in the microwave to see what she does when she opens it up. Never teasing or flirting with each other. You're allowed to flirt with your wife. You're allowed to flirt with your husband. But just coexisting in the same house doesn't have the same depth of relationship. What about that last one? Our relationship with Christ. You can't buy it. I mean, you actually read it in the New Testament. Some people tried to buy the Holy Spirit. You can't buy it. It's a free gift, but it costs your whole life. The truth is, though, we can and we do create and live with counterfeits so often in our faith. I mean, some people think that just going to church or paying some money or helping in the kitchen or being around church folks is just as good as doing that Christian thing. Some people settle for and believe that a little Jesus is enough. Just enough to keep me out of hell, but not enough to ruin my fun or change my routines or my life. But all of those things are counterfeits of the real thing. They're fake versions of true relationship with Jesus. To continue our analogy, those people, they may have seen the gift, may have looked at the wrapping, they may be even have enjoyed and marveled at how beautiful Jesus is, but they don't take the most important step and unwrap the gift. They leave him wrapped and safe. They go about their life thinking all is okay, when in reality, it's only those who receive, who unwrap the gift of eternal life that get it. Our passages, they spoke this morning into this idea. I don't know if you noticed it. John 10, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. When Jesus came, many people, they didn't realize he was who he was. They didn't realize he was the Messiah. They thought, it can't be. It's got to be someone else. It's got to be something else. They had something else in mind. And we do this too often with our incorrect ideas about Jesus. He wants to ruin my fun, so I'll just keep him at arm's length. Well, I'm a scientific kind of person. I can't believe in miracles, so maybe I'll just follow those nice things that Jesus said, and I'll leave it at that. Oh, you know, Jesus wouldn't want me to be unhappy in life and giving up my money and my toys and my girlfriends and my travel plans and my choice of studies, my gap year. Well, I mean, that would be uncomfortable, inconvenient. So I won't bother asking him what he wants me to do, because he might change my plans and I might be unhappy, or I might be uncomfortable, or might be inconvenienced. You know, so many times we put God in a box, and it hinders our relationship with him. We keep him wrapped in bows and wrapping that we like, so that we don't have to unwrap the gift and possibly be disappointed with what's inside. We keep him wrapped up so that we might not be inconvenienced with what we find, so that we don't have to have our plans changed. That passage continues in verse 12. Yet all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Key words, receive and believe. Said another way, received and unwrapped. You don't get the gift unless you've unwrapped it. I mean, I could say that this is my gift all I want, but I don't really know what it is until I unwrap it. I don't get it until. Sure, you may have it in your hands, shaking it and trying to figure out what's inside, but until it's unwrapped, you really don't have the gift. You don't know what it's like, and that's how it is with Jesus. The idea that everyone is God's child is just plain not true. I told you I was going to offend you. The Bible calls those who are opposed to God or don't choose to receive his forgiveness, do you know what it calls them? His enemies. James 4, verse 4. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Enemies. God wants all people to receive his love and his forgiveness and to become children of God. But it takes an intentional choice to receive and believe, to receive and unwrap the gift of forgiveness and eternal life. Receive and unwrap. Galatians 4. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. That's what's inside the gift. The full rights of sons. And I know we're not all men in this room this morning. I'm not being sexist here. When this was written, sons were the only ones who could legally inherit, legally be regarded as heirs. Nevertheless, I do believe this has every bit as much application for all of us, men, women, children, teenagers, kids. When we unwrap the gift of Jesus, we're given a new status, a new life, a new heritage, a new privileged place at the family table and in the family lineage.
We're given sonship, legal place, and full rights of a children of God. But if it's just sitting there on the table, wrapped up, you haven't received it. Continue in that verse. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. And see, when we receive this gift, being a son, an heir, it makes us truly a child of God. We're not God's workers. We're not His slaves or His servants. We're God's kids. Who has pictures of their kids on their phone? Who pulls them out on people and goes, hey, look? Who has pictures of their kids on their, you know, desk at work or, you know, somewhere where you can see them regularly? Yeah. Don't we love our kids? Like, do you love your kids? Sometimes. But, I mean, we love our kids and we're imperfect. God adores His children. He loves us to no end. We're not His slaves. We're His servants. We're His children. And we can act in relationship with God as we would a child with their good and perfect father, pouring out our hearts and our worries. Dad, this is just bugging me so much. Our joys and our sorrows. I'm so happy right now, God. Thank you. Our desires and our wants. God, I really want a Ferrari, please. Probably not going to happen. We can call God Daddy and not worry about being disrespectful. Because that's what He is. He's our Abba, our Daddy. And we can trust that God will provide everything we need to be who He has called us to be. Not everything we need to get what we want in life, but everything we need to be who He wants us to be, to live as His child, to be a part of His family. Access to His joy, His love, His peace, His patience, His kindness, His goodness, His faithfulness, His gentleness, His self-control. Access to miraculous healing, restoration of relationships, words to encourage and bring someone to faith, or to show God's glory in our lives. Faith to believe for impossible things and all the gifts God talks about in His word for believers. Peace in the midst of sorrow. Peace that goes beyond anything in the midst of the hardest stuff of life. But we can never experience those things if we leave the gift unwrapped. Or even if we carry it around with us in our pocket going, yep, I got my Christian bling on. Yeah, I'm a Christian. I go to church. I maybe even have a Bible. See, it doesn't even have a mark on it. But if you haven't unwrapped the gift, if you haven't ever chosen to believe in and receive, unwrap the gift of Christ. The truth is, you're not His child. And therefore, you don't have access to all of those gifts that only His children have. Mark 10, I tell you the truth. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And you know, there might be some of you sitting there at this point going, great, James, for the last 20 minutes, you've sat there and told me stuff I already knew. Thanks for that. And I just love how kids will watch the same movie over and over and over and over and over again. Caleb has a stack of about 30 or 40 DVDs, VeggieTales and Cars and Toy Story and blah, blah, blah. He loves to watch them over and over and over again. And probably no word of a lie, he has watched Cars 1, 2, and 3 like 30 times each. And I still love the movies. I've watched them like 30 times each. But if anybody ever buys me Frozen, I'm going to burn it in front of you, okay? But you know, for some of us in our walks with Jesus, we need to be reminded over and over and over again of the gospel. Luke, like 1 Peter tells us, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. But how long does a baby drink milk for? 10 years? Not. 5 years? Maybe 2? I don't know. This is probably going to get a little chest pokey. But one of my old YOM teachers, Mark Parker, he speaks regularly on the topic of lordship, the idea that we're meant to actually follow Jesus as our Lord, not just as our friend. He speaks regularly on this topic, and he has a real passion for this idea. And his contention, and one which I tend to agree with, is there are too many baby Christians who have not learned to shut up and die. I know, I told you it was going to get chest pokey. It got chest pokey for me when I first heard this. But doesn't Jesus call us to take up our cross daily and follow him? To zip the lip, to stop making excuses, and to die to ourselves. Some people haven't moved on to the deeper truths and more spiritual meat of faith because we're stuck on the basics. And this isn't a new concept. Maybe you've read 1 Corinthians 3. Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready. You're still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? How long should someone stay a baby Christian? 2 years? 3 years? 2 years to soak up the joy and peace of being a child of God? 2 years to start allowing God to begin changing and healing our hearts? 2-3 years to put away worldly pursuits and pleasures to start seeking after the kingdom? I mean, I don't know if I can put a number on it, but is 10 years too long, do you think? Is 5 years too long? But you know, Paul was adamant that those in Corinth were still babies, still immature. They were still worldly because they had not stopped their worldly habits and their ways of dealing with each other. Oh, yeah, I don't like what you said to me. Ooh, I don't like how you just cut me off in traffic. I'm going to follow your tail for 10 minutes. Oh, this McDonald's meal is taking way too long. Oh, you know, your service was terrible this morning. It took way too long for me to get my meal. You know, some of you have unwrapped the gift many years ago, but you're still on page 1 or 2 of the user's manual. You still find yourself stumbling your way. And I'm not just talking about us. I'm speaking to myself here sometimes. We find ourselves stumbling our way through life, trying to use the gift that God's given us. And we're frustrated and sometimes tempted to give up and go back to our old ways because it was easy, because we know how to do it. And in some instances, we may have done that exact thing. What's the fruit of that, though? It's a lack of peace, a lack of joy, fighting and quarreling in our relationships. And I don't know if you're sitting there and maybe you feel like you should be farther along in your faith or not. And you don't know how to fix it. You don't know how to put your hand on it. Take the gift back out. Dust it off. Start learning how to use the bigger features. Repent. Acknowledge to God that you've put him on the back burner and that you want to change that. Receive and thank him for his forgiveness. Ask him to begin teaching you the deeper truths of being a Christian, to lead you to learn about spiritual disciplines like fasting that we're going to do this week, regular prayer and intercession for people, personal and intentional times of worship, and giving God your first place, him the first place in your life every day, asking him for a renewed hunger for his word, and start studying a book of his word. Learn to hear and discern the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to you. He does speak today and wants to. Are you listening? If you haven't yet learned to tithe regularly, begin there, because it's a spiritual discipline that's more about our heart than it is about the church's bills. It tells us where our heart's at. And if you're already a Christian, maybe you've unwrapped the gift. Are you using it regularly? Are you growing in your faith? If you are, awesome. I celebrate with you. But if there's that little bit of a, maybe I have left it on the back burner. I want to encourage you to take it off, dust it off, do something with it this week. Maybe you're here and you're not even sure if you've unwrapped it. Maybe you've been around church for a while, maybe even years. Maybe you found yourself tasting that the Lord is good. You know, like those kids who just kind of like peek. Kind of look, what is it? And just kind of peek at it. Maybe you found yourself tasting that the Lord is good, but still with one foot in the world. Or maybe with doubts that you're still stopping you from giving your whole life to Jesus. Or maybe life experiences have held you back from completely trusting God. Can I encourage you this morning to unwrap the gift? Even if you've received Jesus before, this is an everyday experience, an everyday event to give ourselves to Jesus. In a moment, I'm going to lead us all to unwrap the gift. And I want to encourage and challenge us that if you're unsure of your standing with God this morning, if you're in doubts as to your relationship with Him, or you've got these questions that you just don't know what to do with, or maybe you can't even remember if you received Christ, then I want to encourage you to take this chance to respond this morning. Finally, there may be some of you here that God has spoken to your heart and He's showed you that He is good. I mean, this gift, I don't know what's in it. I'm pretty sure it's amazing. But the gift that God gives us is indescribable. There's no words that can describe how amazing it is. Maybe you've seen that this morning. Caught a glimpse of how good God is. And that you need Him. The Bible tells us that all of us have sinned. Every one of us. We've all broken God's laws. And we deserve punishment for that. We deserve death. We all need what God offers to us. And if you haven't unwrapped that gift before, if you haven't ever chosen to make Jesus your Lord and Savior, your leader and forgiver, then I want to encourage you to take this moment to unwrap the gift. You'll know it because you can see that you're not experiencing that beautiful life that Jesus offers, a life of generosity and patience and love for everyone, even those people who annoy you. Forgiveness for those who have wronged you. Peace in the midst of chaos. The assurance that if you were to die today, you would be forever in the presence of God. And if you find yourself in any of those places this morning, or maybe even you're here this morning, you're just being honest, you're like, yeah, you know what? Nah, life's great. I feel full of the Holy Spirit. I'm experiencing true life in Jesus. I'm growing. I'm not perfect, but I'm growing. Then I pray that you would unwrap the gift again this morning anyways. We can all do this every morning. I'm going to pray this prayer that's going to be up on the screen. And it's a simple prayer, just asking Jesus to come into your life to renew you. Whether you've been a Christian for a long time and you're full of faith this morning, or you're someone who needs to move on from baby steps, or maybe you're not even sure where you stand and you want to take this step. Would you pray this with me? You can pray it out loud or you can pray it in your heart. It's up to you. Dear God, I realize this morning that in many ways I've left your gift to me unwrapped. I've not lived the way you created me to, and I have done my own thing. I'm sorry for living as if everything is okay, when in your eyes, God, it's not. I believe that Jesus Christ is the only one that can change that. I believe that Jesus Christ lived, died in my place to take the punishment I deserve, and that He came back to life to offer me the gift of eternal life, a relationship with God. I choose today to make Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of my life, my forgiver and leader. I choose to walk away from doing my own thing and choose to follow your ways, God. I receive your forgiveness, and I want to receive the gift of your Holy Spirit. Help me to follow you each day from now on, and help me to grow to be more like you. Thank you for loving me and giving me the greatest gift ever. God, I thank you so much for this morning. I thank you, God, for my friends and family here. Lord, I thank you for the chance that we've had to look at your word. Thank you that your word pokes us in the chest sometimes. Lord, your word sometimes shows us that what we've believed about you might not actually be all that true. In fact, it might be stopping us from experiencing fullness in you. And so, Father, if like myself, some of us here this morning sometimes keep you wrapped up and think, yeah, just enough Jesus to not make me uncomfortable, Lord, would you forgive us? Would you help us, God, to let you out of the box, to unwrap the gift and be willing to follow you wherever you will lead? Lord, help us to be willing to do what you call us to. Help us, God, to take time to read your word and study it and know what it says for us. Help us to take time to set aside time to pray, not just pray for things, but God, to pray for people and situations, to pour out our hearts to you and let you know, God, what we truly desire in this world, but not just those things that we want, but those people in our lives that are so important that we want to see come to know Jesus. Those experiences that they've gone through, that we would be praying for them to experience your fullness, your grace, your love, your healing, your peace, your goodness in their situations. And Father, that you would help us to truly pour out our hearts to you in prayer. God, you would help us to be people that truly want to fast. I love food, God, but I love you more. Help us, help me, Father, to put aside those things for a time, to spend intentional time with you. God, help us to move on from the baby steps of Christianity to actually becoming disciples of Jesus. Lord, thank you that there's so many people in this room that have followed you for years, and they're great examples of what disciples look like. Would you help us to take their lead? Would you help us, God, to honor those who've taught us? But God, as a church, we pray that you would help us to be people who are on this journey towards you together, whether we're just in our first baby steps, whether we're years along, whether we need to take another step. Father, help us to do this journey together and to know, God, that we're in it together. Lord, thanks for what you're doing. Help us to unwrap the gift this Christmas. In Jesus' name.